This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Susie Rong, what question have you got for me?
Hi, Warren.
How are you?
I'm good. Are you a person who looks to the past a lot, or are you always looking far ahead, or are you really good at living in the present?
Oh, Susie, that's a good one. That's a really good question. I look to the past a lot because I learn from the past. I don't dwell on the past and think, oh, I wish I'd done that. But there's so much coded into the way that I behave now that's based on my past, I'd be foolish to ignore it. So I love learning from my past. I love drawing on the experiences and finding out, why do I react a certain way to that? Why do I do that? Why do I like this and that? There's so much in there. It's like a handbook.
What about, is that all your psychotherapy?
Oh, psychotherapy, yeah. Insight, wisdom. I think it's everything. I think we all come with stories, don't we? We all come with a past that determines how we behave now. So I love the past, but I don't live in the past. I don't dwell on the past. I'm curious about the past. What about you?
I don't think I look to the future very much. I think I used to worry a lot about the future, and I kind of made it a concerted effort to kind of live very much in the present, which I think with every year I get better at. Do I look to the past? I think I do. I am curious about the way I feel about things, the way I respond to things. So I do think about the past a fair bit, just to make sure that I don't kind of make the same mistakes, or I don't let pointless things annoy me. I think that's a good trick to have. Well, you know, it's a technique, isn't it? To kind of know why and how you operate. But, you know, I try very hard to stay in the present. And, you know, with every year you learn that thinking too much about the future, too much about the past really serves very little purpose, really.
And the other thing is too, there's like a sense of freedom, not a freedom, but there's a lightness to understanding how you are today by drawing on your past experience. There's some sort of, I don't know, I get this sense of, I suppose freedom is the right word, this sense of, now I understand. And there's just something nice and settling about that, rather than thinking, why do I always react this particular way to this person? What's going on there? You know, there's something nice and comforting about knowing why we have certain behaviours. That's what I love.
Yeah, I think as young people, some of us can be a little bit harsh on ourselves, and you do learn to be kind to yourselves as you understand why you do the things you do. And you know, you need a lot of kind of self reflection and know, you need to know yourself a bit to kind of know why you do the things you do, and then hopefully be more forgiving.
The other thing is too, I mean, we've spoken about this before, Susie. You know, I wasn't a very well 20-year-old man, and I kind of spent a lot of time worrying about the future and worrying about things, and then you get to the future and all of a sudden that worry, you look back and you go, oh, I was so worried, but I didn't need to be. I was okay. I was resilient, you know. And yes, I suppose those stereotypical things about what would you go back and tell your younger self? But there is a wisdom that comes with time, isn't there? There is this level, and I'm going to use the word comfort again, of going, you know what? No, I've proven to myself that I can overcome lots of things and I'm resilient. And there's a level of comfort that comes with that as well. You need to look back into the past to where you are to be able to have that sort of wisdom. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've always been told that it's best to live in the present and pay attention to the present. And I guess conceptually I understood what those words meant, but I just found it impossible. I think when I was in my 20s and, you know, in my 30s, so much of my attention was put into what was going to happen in the future. And, you know, And maybe my personality was that I would worry a fair bit. Mm. And then, with life experience, I kind of learned not to worry, and with that I understood, oh, that's what living in the future, living in the present means. It's just kind of, you cannot know what's going to happen in the future, and there's no point in spending too much energy and time thinking about what you're going to do about whatever that might or might not happen.
There's a lot of uncertainties, isn't there, that we don't know about in the future that we can worry about, and it just turns into our anxiety. That's certainly what I found with it anyway. Terrible anxiety, shocking. And now there's a calmness about, you know what, doesn't matter so much. But I understand the theory, because we have been told, and I don't know, maybe it was an early 2000s thing or something, but, you know, oh, be present, be in the now, and then there's no worries because you're not worried about the future and the past. But I think that can become a stress in itself, because how can you be right in the now at all times? I don't know. I can't. I'm always drawing on things like we've talked about today. And even though that's meant to be, I suppose, a calming thing to do, it can also become stressful because you're thinking, well, I can't just switch off. Some of us can't. We have active minds.
I think there's some things. Maybe with each person, you just kind of need to know where your parameters are. I just need to know that there's some things that need to be place, you know, some ducks that have to be put in a row. Once those ducks are nicely placed in a row, you can forget about it and not dwell on all those things, you know, like, but I guess those things take a bit of maturity to understand. Some things you can leave to chance, and some things you kind of try your best to control a bit.
Absolutely. You can join in the conversation with Susie and I. She said, love you two together. My favourite Joy segment. Film TV is my jam, and deeply appreciate you both sharing your stories. You can share your story too. The text number is 0427 569 949. Join in the conversation. We've got double passes we're giving away today to anyone who joins in the conversation, talks about whatever they want. Susie, we watched a show on SBS On Demand last night. It's called Love and Videotapes. Give us your review, please.
Andoy is finishing up at high school in a Filipino provincial village where life is languid and uneventful. But Andoy is not quite at peace. His mother has left him to work elsewhere, and his father is a complete mystery, never having been part of the picture growing up. He lives with his aunt, who only has eyes for her very nasty boyfriend. But luckily, Andoy's best mate, Paido, is a great companion and an emotional refuge. And together they have a lot of fun sharing a love of movies on VHS. The 2023 film Love and Videotapes, streaming on SBS On Demand, is a coming-of-age story set in rural Philippines, shot beautifully to capture a perspective of innocence, a somewhat slow-moving but mesmerizing film that takes a couple of surprising turns later in the piece. As Andoy starts becoming restless with his burgeoning sexuality, he meets two slightly older people who happen to be queer, and his world begins to open up. Love and Videotapes has a nostalgic charm that resonates particularly with my memories of Southeast Asia in years past that saw the proliferation of video libraries and the forgotten experience of communal TV watching. It is interesting that there isn't a lot of traumatic coming out tropes to be found in this film, which is probably a good thing. Instead, Andoy develops organically with little social and personal resistance, which is on one hand a good way of telling queer stories, but also can feel slightly tepid in dramatic terms. There is a lot of restraint in the writing, which gives Love and Videotapes a certain elegance, but the quality of acting isn't quite up to scratch, and what intends to be quiet nuances often gets lost in this slightly arty movie. Nevertheless, there is a soulfulness to Love and Videotapes that persuades us to stick with it till the end, where we find something of a rewarding payoff. Warren, what are your thoughts on this one?
Susie, VHS videotapes. I love it. I love the idea that they're like a time capsule. They lock up all those memories. And it's interesting because after I watched this last night and I sat down, and you're right, it's very slow. It's actually a kind of therapy in itself, isn't it? Because it's very slow and it's kind of nice to watch. It's pleasant to watch, even though, you know, you did mention a little bit about the acting. But I looked at some old videotapes. I couldn't play them because I don't have a VHS video cassette recorder anymore, but I'm going to get one because, I looked at the tapes and I thought, I've got my family on those tapes of when I was a kid. They were taken on Super 8 film at the time. It wasn't videotapes, but they were converted to videotape. And, you know, having lost my mother this year, my father's in hospital at the moment, you know, I've lost my brother. It's really only sort of me and my dad left now, but my whole family are captured on these VHS tapes. I'm so excited to go and see them. And I'm sure it will be very emotional, but to sit down and just watch them and just reconnect with my childhood and my family that are no longer there anymore. I love the thought that we've captured this stuff in videotapes. And I love the thought that it's on videotapes as well, because it represents that era of, you know, the 80s and the 90s. Have you got old videotapes, Susie?
I've got videotapes of pop stars, because I collect pop memorabilia and things. So I've got these like amazing videos of Kylie and Madonna and all of that.
Great.
I've got my Pet Shop Boys videotapes, which I cherish. But coincidentally, I think some documentary, and someone mentioned that they don't last beyond 60 years.
I know.
Like after 60 years that like you're not going to be able to play them. I don't know what the truth is, but you know, I would recommend while they are still okay, hopefully still okay, you get them digitized, then they will last longer than you are.
And you know what? We were just talking about looking into the future and not being anxious about it. I'm anxious about them because you're right. You are right. The time is ticking on whatever the chemical makeup of these tapes is. You can digitize VHS tapes, I assume. Someone get in touch. 0427 569 949.
There are businesses that do that. I'm assuming you hand them the tapes and they turn them into digital files, and you can have them forever and you can watch it on all your devices. That's sweet that you've got all of that.
I've got so many, and I just looked at them and I thought, these are so special for me. And I need to get them digitized. So that is going to be my priority over the next few days and weeks, definitely. Susie, I love
how
nostalgia.
How much of that stuff have you got?
I've got stuff. Well, see, my father was a curious man. He is a curious man. I shouldn't say that. He's very intelligent. And he went overseas when I was about 4 or 5. And I remember he went to Japan. Of course, Japan was the very technical place to be, you know, the latest technology and things. And he came back with this recorder. It wasn't a video recorder. It was pre-VHS and Betamax times. I think it was a Super 8 recorder. So a lot of it doesn't have sound. Some of it does. But I've got a video of me at 4 years old, up at Mount Buffalo, which has just reopened today, I might add.
4 years old?
4 years old. On one of the baby ski runs, no helmet, and just going straight down. You need
to preserve all that.
Not even stopping. I didn't even know how to stop, but just going straight down, ski straight. For those who know, when your skis are parallel and they're facing down, you go pretty fast, and just going. Shoop. I don't know how I did it. I couldn't even. I'd be nervous to do it now.
But you need to digitize all of that. Oh, reopen your Instagram and post them all.
Where did that courage go, Susie?
Well, you know better now.
We know better now. We're older and wiser, aren't we?
Hopefully.
Susie, I love chatting with you. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're sticking with SBS On Demand, where you can find the Australian movie Sunflower, another coming-of-age story, this time set in Melbourne, where things aren't quite as smooth sailing for our young protagonist. I'll see you next Tuesday for Sunflower. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.